The Gemara mentions that a person who comes into court and admits that he is a convicted Eid Zoymein, a sentenced Eid Zoymein, in such a case, he would be chayiv to pay. There's a hav amino that he'd be potter from paying. The maskana is that he's chayiv to pay. What's the hav amino and what's the maskana? There are five different reasons that such a person would be potter from paying. And each of those five reasons must be rejected, ultimately, when we say that he's chayiv to pay. So I want to go through some of the reasons one by one. What's the hav amino that he's potter from paying? What's the maskana that he's chayiv for paying? What the Gemara says explicitly is that you would have thought that because he has no ne'amanus, he is not believed for the court to force the other aid to pay, so therefore he shouldn't either be believed for the court to force him himself to pay. What exactly does this mean? I think it can be explained in one of two ways. First of all, there's a general question about the level of tziruf between these two eidim zoymimin. Are the two eidim zoymimin considered to be one entity that's composed of two people, one cat, one group that's composed of two people, and in all senses they're treated as a single group, a single unit? Or are they considered to be two eidim who happen under these circumstances to combine? So when it comes to kofar, the Torah tells us that kofar shalim amar rachmana v'loy chatzi kofar. There's no such thing as a chatzi kofar. There's only such a thing as a kofar shalim. The person's, if an axe is owned by two partners, by two shutfim, and the axe gores, so maybe the shutfim will be potter because kofar shalim amar rachmana v'loy chatzi kofar. And when the axe that belongs to shutfim gored, each shutif will be end up paying chatzi kofar. So that's not kofar shalim. When it comes to Edom Zoymimin, the reason that they don't pay Kofar is because Kofar is Kapara. Kofar Kapara, and therefore it's not Shaykh by Edom Zoymimin. The Ritva wants to know, why don't we say that the Edom Zoymimin are Potter from Kofar, the same reason that Shutvim are Potter from Kofar. Shutvim are Potter from Kofar because Kofar Shalim Amar Rachmana V'Loy Chatzi Kofar. So to Edom Zoymimin should be Potter from Kofar because they'll each end up paying Chatzi Kofar, and the Torah says Kofar Shalim V'Loy Chatzi Kofar. This is the Ritva's question. The Ritva responds and says that that's not true. That's not the way we look at Eidim Zoymimin. Two Shutfim are certainly two independent individuals. And the payment that is sentenced on the two Shutfim and the payment that they ultimately make are payment that comes from two separate individuals. In contrast, Eidim Zoymimin, when they're sentenced and when they pay, are not doing so as two individuals, but rather as one cat, as one group of Eidim Zoymimin. They're mitzdariv to one another. It's not two individual Eidim Zoymimin who are each paying chatzi kofar, but it's one group of Eidim Zoymimin that's paying kofar shalim. Therefore, there's no problem of kofar shalim v'loy chatzi kofar, there's only a problem of kufra kapara. This is what the Ritva says. So based on this Ritva, we can better understand the havamin of our Gemara. You would have thought that the Eidim Zoymimin only pay as a unit. They only pay as a unit. If the Beis Din only has enough evidence to convict or to force one of these Eidim Zoymimin to pay and not the other one, so then perhaps neither of the Eidim Zoymimin should pay, because half of a unit is nothing, round it down, it's zero. So if the Beis Din can't convict both Eidim Zoymimin, if they can't force both Eidim to pay, then it can't force either of the Eidim to pay. That would be the Hav Amina. The Maskana is that somehow or other these Eidim Zoymimin have an identity both as a group and as individuals. So when it comes to Kofar, we focus on their identity as a group. The fact that they have a combined identity enables them to pay Kofar and not to be nisma'i from the miut of Kofar Shalim B'loi Chatzi Kofar. However, when it comes to Hoida'as Atzmam, to making them pay based on their Hoida'ah that they were convicted in a different court, there, we're also going to let them pay because of their identity as individuals. They have both identities, both as a group and as individuals. The group identity is primary, comes to the fore to be machmir on them by Kofar, if not for the fact that Kofar was Kapara, and the individual identity comes to the fore to enable us to be machmir on them when they have a Hoida'ah. So this is one passable pshat in the Hav Amina and the Maskana of the Gemara. Alternately, the Kavana of the Gemara's Hav Amina may be similar to what we find elsewhere, Loi Palginan Dibura. There are times when a person will say in Eidos, and we say that because they're Ne'eman on one part of the Eidos, they should be their ne'eman on the other part of the eidos as well. Or alternately, because they're not ne'eman on one part of the eidos, they're not ne'eman on the other part of the eidos as well. We can't simply split up their ne'emanos, nor can we split up their testimony. It's one testimony. So in this case, the eid zoymim says, I and my friend were a pair of eidim zoymimim. And he's not believed to convict his friend. So therefore, perhaps, the same way that we are incredulous, we do not believe him when it comes to his friend, since he talked about himself in the same breath, in the same eidos, as he talked about his friend, and he's not ne'eman klape his friend, therefore he also will not be ne'eman klape himself. That's a second possible havamina for the Gemara. Then the maskana would be that no, that in circumstances such as these, we certainly do say palginon dibura. So that's the first basic issue. The issue is tseiruf, right, either of the eidim or of the hoidah. There are four other issues that could possibly impede the Beis Din's being mechayev these eidim zoymimin based on their own hoidah. Let's see how many of them we can cover. One of the issues is the issue of ein adam mesim atzmai rasha. How can he be ne'eman to say that I was an eid zoymim? An eid zoymim is a rasha. The haya in bin hako is a rasha. And there's a rule in the Torah that a person cannot incriminate himself. A person is never believed to make himself a rasha. So how can this person make himself into a rasha? So here there's a ritva and a rashash. The ritva explains that when it comes to ein adam mesim atzmai rasha, taka we say palginon dibura. We believe him in as much as he says that he owes money to somebody else. We do not believe him in as much as he claims that the debt came about because he was an eid zoymim. So it's palginon dibura. We split it up. We say he's ne'eman that he owes the guy money. He's not ne'eman that he actually is an eid zoymim, which is a little bit of a chiddush. The Ritva brings a raya. He says if a person comes into court and admits that he stole money from somebody, or admits that he was mazik somebody, so we believe him to force him to pay the other guy whom he claimed he stole from, or whom he claimed he damaged, but we do not believe him to make himself into a rasha. We can split up between the chiyuv tashlumi mamoin and between the actual rishos that he claims he convicts himself of. And a nafkamino, for example, would be to make him pasul le'edos. He's not going to be pasul le'edos because we don't believe him that he actually is a rasha. We don't believe him that he's a ganef or that he's a mazik. All that we believe him is that he is the inference that emerges from his words that he owes money to somebody. L'cha'ir l'fize, if a person comes into Beis Din and is moide that he tried to convict a person of Misa, that he tried to convict a person of Malkus, so then we would not apply this rule that he would be ne'eman mipi atzmai, because we would say rather instead, ein adam mesim atzmai rasha. This is the Ritva's explanation. We don't say ein adam mesim atzmai rasha because of palginon dibura, or something similar to that. The Rashash, in contrast, says something a little bit different. The Rashash says, ein adam mesim atzmai rasha, because in this case he's coming to do tshuva. He's doing tshuva, he's no longer a rasha. He's no longer a Rasha, so he has full ne'emanus. So Ritva and Rashash, in terms of why we don't apply, ein adam mesim atzmai Rasha. A third issue is the issue that Rabbi Akiva raises in the Gemara itself, and that's the issue of Moideh Biknas. Moideh Biknas is Pater. The Gemara indeed says that according to Rabbi Akiva, so Moideh Biknas is going to be Pater, and therefore he would not have to pay unless it's no longer a Knas, unless it transformed from knas into mamoin. And what transforms a knas into a mamoin? It's the sentencing by Beis Din. If he comes in and says, I was convicted of being an eid zoymim, but I was not yet sentenced to pay the guy for whom I wanted to victimize, so then it's still a knas. And if he's moide in that knas, he's potter. However, if he says, I was convicted and I was sentenced to pay my victim, so then he's going to be, that's considered mamoin, and his hoidah will not absolve him of the payment for this crime. However, the Ritva brings down that some people are medactic and they want to know, in the end of the day, right, if he's not moideh, so the Beis Din where he is cannot convict him. And now they're forcing him to pay money because of his hoidah. This is the Ritva's kasha. And the Ritva gives the tarets. But I want to just point out the importance of this kasha, because we discussed in the end of Maseches Sanhedrin what exactly is the relationship, right, of the first court, the court that did the investigation, right, and the sentencing, right, as opposed to the court which is fulfilling that sentence. Do we say that the first court is basically doing the entire, you know, the sentencing and the investigation, etc., and that the second court is only fulfilling the psak din which is imposed by the first court? Or do we say that no, that the second court has no evidence, and it is going to create its own sentencing, its own conviction, right, before carrying out, it's not carrying out the old court sentence, it's creating its own sentence, but the evidence, rather than being the original evidence that the person committed a crime, the evidence which they're basing their sentence upon is the fact that he was convicted in the first court. So lichaora, if the first model is correct, so then the Ritva's kasha, he doesn't even need a teretz. It's pashut that this is not a case of moide b'knas, because moide b'knas means that I want to pattern myself. I'm being moide that the court ought to sentence me. And here, there's no sentencing to be done. The sentencing was already done. And all that's happening, right, is that the court is fulfilling, it's carrying out the sentence. The kasha only works according to the second model, namely that the second court, right, is creating its own independent sentence, except that the evidence that it's creating the sentence with, instead of being evidence of the crime, is evidence of an investigation and a conviction by a previous court. Okay, that's an important line in the Ritva. So far we've had lack of tzeiruf between the edim, we've had ein adam meisim atzmei rasha, and we also have now this idea of moide b'knas is potter. The other two, one of them is the idea of kivan shehigid shuv eino chozer umagid, which the Gemara itself invokes. Rabbeinu Chananel says a major chiddush that kivan shehigid shuv eino chozer umagid is sufficient to negate, to neutralize the hoidas baldin. This Eid Zoymein came into court, and he said, there's a victim who's now going to be wrongfully deprived of his money based on my testimony. I was goyim that he should suffer a nezek, that he should suffer a loss. And ordinarily, when a person comes into court with such an admission, we force him to pay, because hoidas baldin kamei edim dami. And in this case, he says that he was goyim that a person should suffer a loss. So based on his hoidah, we should make him pay. So Ramban and the Ritva say, inachinami, we do make him pay, that his hoidas baldin is sufficient to make him pay. And that the fact that there is kivan shehigah shubin nechayzer umagid is not enough to go against him. However, there seems to be one lashon in Rabbeinu Chananel that says a no, that kivan shehigah shubin nechayzer umagid, once he's testified about this case, we just don't listen to him anymore, whether what he's saying is being said b'toras aid or whether it's being said b'toras hoidas baldin, we just don't listen to him. Once we accepted his testimony on this case, then he has nothing more to say. So even if he has a hoidas baldin, we're not going to listen to that hoidas baldin to be mechayef him to pay his victim. So that kivan shehig yishuvin yichayzer umagid is another possible reason why maybe even lemaskana he should be exempt from paying his victim. And finally, the final one is hapesha asar hu hapesha hetir. If he comes into court and he says, I was investigated as an eid zoymin by a different court, and I was sentenced and convicted by the other court of being an eid zoymin. So lechayra, based on that, this first court should make him pay. However, he says, I was sentenced wrongfully. The people who were mazim me themselves were zoymimim, or they were edei sheker. So in this case, many rishonim say, he actually does not have to pay. The reason he doesn't have to pay is because apesha asar hu apesha hitir. The same way that we believe him to say that he was sentenced and convicted in the other court, we also believe him to say that it was a wrongful conviction, that he didn't deserve it, and therefore we are not going to carry out that conviction, because after all, if he's believed for the one, he should be believed for the other. And this is also happens to be a major chiddush in terms of the lamdos of hapesha asar hu hapesha hitir, because in the end of the day, he said he was convicted. A conviction has to be carried out, whether it's a rightful conviction or whether it's a wrongful conviction. The fact that he asserts that it's a wrongful conviction and that he's believed to say that it's a wrongful conviction may not have an impact on are carrying out the sentence, because we have to carry out the sentence based on Mishpatei HaTorah. Mishpatei HaTorah say that even if he's convicted wrongfully, he ought to be sentenced. So it's a bit of a chiddush that the Ritva says that Pesha Asur or Pesha Hitir is sufficient to patter him from Tashlumin.